Just say a little prayer. Jesus, thank you for your wisdom and your love and the way it is recorded for us in the Bible. May we take it into our hearts and benefit from it. Amen. How are you doing? An old friend at AA used to joke, "I'm all right, it's the others." Don't you often feel like that? Yet how much of the Bible is devoted to putting up with each other and forgiveness? Jesus' take on forgiveness is well known. "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Peter, "Forgive 70 times 7. Mpho and Desmond Tutu wrote a book about forgiveness, which is very helpful. They write, "We choose to either walk the path of revenge and be bound to suffering, or take the path of forgiveness and be freed into healing. This forgiveness is about letting go of all possibility of revenge, wishing no ill for the perpetrator, and talking to God about our hard, broken heart until it is mended and softened. Forgiveness is an internal process." But today's passage isn't about forgiveness. For once, it's about confronting people who have wronged us. Jesus' words are about challenging harmful behaviour, so that hurtful behaviour to you, me, or others is stopped, and a loving relationship can be restored. Relationship was very important to Jesus, and still is. Remember when he was talking about leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to the one who has something against you? You can read about that in Matthew chapter 5. In today's passage from Matthew 18, Jesus is looking at the same situation from the opposite angle. The wronged person goes to the person they have got the beef with to talk it over. The first stage is to talk to the person who wronged you in private with just the two of you. This would resonate with Paul's exhortation to believe the best of our neighbour in 1 Corinthians 13. And it would fit in with Jesus' advice to, as far as possible, be at peace with all people. Maybe the person didn't realise that they hurt you. Or maybe they do and feel sorry and are glad you brought it up. Maybe it's you who misunderstood and they didn't wrong you at all. But they might have had a bad day or acted in haste or anger. They might welcome the chance to make amends. Or they might have a real problem with an addiction or a very bad habit, and your confrontation is the rock bottom they need to come out of denial and seek help. In all of these possible scenarios, your relationship can be restored. But sometimes denial is deep. And raising issues with people who won't own their own shizzle can be dangerous. In domestic or sexual abuse cases, a defense tactic called DARVO is sometimes used by those who have been accused. DARVO is an acronym for deny, attack, reverse victim and offender. In this, the perpetrator assumes the victim role and turns the true victim or whistleblower into an alleged offender attacker by trying to undermine their credibility through false accusations. Darvo in one-to-one conversations can sound like this. Deny. What are you talking about? I didn't do that. And even if I did, you know I rarely do that sort of thing. And honestly, it's harmless. Attack. Why are you getting so worked up about this? Reverse victim and offender. You're always on my case about something. I received this response from my ex-partner over years, which made me feel like I was in the wrong. I felt powerless and doubted my ability to interpret events correctly. The approach can spill out into the victim's life, involving wider family and colleagues and friends. A member of my family has parents who don't believe their ex was abusive due to how charming they always were at the in-laws. As well as use in one-to-ones, the Darvo approach of denying and other blaming can also play out in public law, like in the Depp Heard case. But when the personal approach to the one who wronged you does not work, Jesus has a next step to recommend. He advises you take someone with you, maybe two people, to have another go at raising the issue. This is something I have done in my day job as a trade unionist. Going with someone and listening as they say what happened and how they feel about it, with a request for changed behaviour. As a witness, I add strength to their request for an appropriate response. And if matters are not resolved, I can help at the next stage. Jesus' words of advice would have been familiar to his listeners. In those days, most court cases were dealt with by the congregation of Jews, which is why Jesus was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest. Oral tradition, as written in Deuteronomy chapter 17, advised that a person's conduct could only be judged by the testimony of two or more witnesses. Interestingly, they didn't have two witnesses to any crime by Jesus, so his trial was unlawful. Historically, in our country and others around the world, a fundamentalist denomination has unwisely used this requirement in cases of child sexual abuse, which they usually dealt with in-house, although they conceded that people were free to go to the police themselves if they really must. The requirement of two witnesses to sexual abuse has meant this denomination has taken it as unproven if the alleged attacker denies what the child said happened. They have been much criticised for not involving social services and the police. Their reporting has improved since a number of media scandals. So sometimes Jesus' advice here is not the be-all and end-all. For example, in the Me Too movement, individual police reports of sexual abuse of female actors in the film industry led to others being given the bravery to come forward. If the person you go to will not admit the issue, nor change their behaviour after an approach from the two of you, Jesus advises to go to the church with the issue. In other words, let everyone in the congregation know. I like this. In my former relationship, there was a great emphasis on keeping secrets. I couldn't even admit what was happening to myself. To be able to share publicly what has happened to you when the person doing the harm won't take responsibility helps you to heal by being heard and believed by others. And it can bring consequences, change and healing to them too. It's good advice from Jesus to take a different approach to someone who will not cooperate when you seek a change of behaviour or redress for the wrong you have suffered. It's not just a case of sucking it up and being nice. The really interesting part of this passage today for me, though, is what happens when the person won't listen to the church either. In such an instance, Jesus suggests that they become to you like a Gentile or a tax collector. This implies a distinction or separation, like when he tells his disciples to shake the dust off their feet when leaving a place where they were not received with peace. But I don't think it's that simple. He wants protection for victims and redemption for perpetrators. Both and, rather than either or. Jesus was always hanging about with Gentiles and tax collectors. He loves every single person in the world, whatever their behaviour. But he knows what human behaviour is like when the way of our being does not reflect the truth of our being. He suffered that in his own flesh. Justice is part of his love. But he brings restorative justice where every wrong is righted and every relationship restored. He doesn't bring retributive justice or punishment. In John chapter 12, he is recorded as saying that he will draw all people to him. His fiery love will redeem the whole world. He tells of a world in Revelation where both every knee will bow to him as Messiah, bridegroom and king, and he promises to wipe every tear from every eye. So where does that leave us? Going no contact or grey rock might be sensible to protect ourselves from a person pursuing harmful behaviour against us. But Jesus loves the one we have moved on from as much as he loves us. If we really want to become open to Christ's own ministry to us, forgiveness of others and self-examination are necessary. Being willing to challenge wrong behaviour is a key part of discipleship. But what we dish out, we must also be able to take. We must learn how to let go and let God with regard to others. And we must be open to challenge ourselves when we are in the wrong. A step 10 daily inventory or an examine can be a useful part of our discipleship. So I want to leave you with a thought. Maybe we can discuss this later. Which is more scary for you personally? Speaking up to others about their behaviour or hearing from others that you have done wrong? One to ponder. Amen.